Log Talk Radio.
And thanks for tuning in tonight to Blog Talk Radio for Saturday, February the 21st, 2015. We are Answers for the Paranormal. My name is Bill Posey. I am the host for the show tonight. And with me here in the studio tonight is my co-host, Joe Marodi. Welcome,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. It feels really good to be next to you and out of my bedroom. The only thing I don't like is I can't pace around here. As far as the technology allows us tonight, we're Siamese twins, so we'll just have to roll with the punches. It's always something different.
Okay, well, let me know when you roll left.
I'll do that.
I'll roll with you. All right, Joe, can you introduce our guests for tonight?
Yeah, we would like to welcome at this point Dr. Kent Hoven. Kent is the founder of Creation Science Evangelism, as well as Dinosaur Adventureland in Pensacola, Florida. Currently, Kent is incarcerated, unfortunately, at the Santa Rosa County Jail, and Kent's going to get into that. But let's start with asking Kent how he's feeling, because we understand, Bill, that the last couple of days, Kent's...
from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
That goes on every couple of minutes. Yeah. You know, Kent has not been feeling well. We just want to know how you're feeling, Kent.
I feel great. I'm ready to go home. It's been 100 months they've had me locked up, and I think this is insane. People need to read the details on freekenthoven.com. But no, I'm physically fine, 62 years old, great shape, ready to go back to my family and grandkids and wife of 41 and a half years.
Well,
God's been good.
Well, amen to that, Kent. We're glad to hear that you're feeling better. Now, we understand that yesterday you had a court date. Would you describe the nature of those court proceedings and the outcome?
Okay. The court, I've been many times to this court in Pensacola now, the federal courthouse. Yesterday was what they call a pre-trial hearing. The trial for this new charge of mailing a letter, which carries a 20-year sentence, mail fraud. It's insane when you think about it. But the trial was supposed to be September, the first week of September. Then they moved it to October, then to November, then to December, then to January, then to February. Now it's finally set at March 2nd. And so I've been, moved, and they've always got 400 reasons why they are allowed to do that, in spite of the fact that speedy trial is supposed to be 70 days. Well, you have been in 70 days, but you got the following 300 exceptions. Oh, okay. So you can't beat these folks on that kind of stuff. Anyway. So we plan to go now March 2nd, a week from this Monday, to trial, unless they drop it, which could happen because of what happened yesterday. The co-defendant with me is Paul Hansen from Omaha, Nebraska. Paul Hansen is a great patriot, loves the Lord, loves our ministry. history. He's the trustee, actually, of Creation Science Evangelism. And has been since, I think, about 2012. He's been working with Glenn Stoll, who's been the trustee since 2002 of the ministry. Okay. So Paul was able, very difficult, very hard to get it in, but he finally got in five simple jurisdictional challenges to the court. They did not want to accept him. If a Mexican police officer pulls you over for speeding in Texas, and starts, you know, saying, hey, give me your driver's license. What are you doing? They say, excuse me, sir, are you in your jurisdiction?
Yeah.
The umpire or referee of any game only has jurisdiction on the court during game time. There are limits to his jurisdiction. Okay. This is standard. You know, all the old movies where they run for the county line. Why are they running for this line? Well, because, you know, the cop runs out of jurisdiction past that line. It's standard law in every country. Either the county line or state line or the Canadian border or Mexican border. So Paul was able to successfully get the court to accept very reluctantly jurisdictional challenges, which they do not want to do.
Right.
And he said, I'm not challenging the court. I'm challenging my opponent, the USA over there at that table. They are claiming Ken and I did some acts that are illegal. Okay, I would like to know, how did they get jurisdiction over me personally? How did they get jurisdiction over the place where I was? Was I standing on U.S. land when this act happened? There's a subject matter jurisdiction, a territorial jurisdiction, and a personal jurisdiction, all of which is perfectly fine to challenge at any time. If they have jurisdiction, then show me. That's all it is. It's a simple one-page document. I read them. Rudy Davis from Dallas yesterday, and he posts everything up on 2peter3.com.
Yes.
Number 2, the word Peter, and the number 3. And you can listen to him there. This is the heart of the entire matter. This will bring America back to its constitutional base, where the federal government has jurisdiction on federal lands. And the Constitution is real clear that everything not spelled out in this document is left to the state. Amendment number 10, government involved, for instance, in the drug war. Where do they get that out of the Constitution? How does the federal government get a right to come into your state and do anything on the other than their land? Believe me, this is, as simple as it is, this is going to be a royal battle. Now, the judge is faced with an option, and I want you to pray that God will get a hold of her heart and make her do what's right. She knows, she is an incredibly intelligent woman. She knows full well that if she tells the U.S. government, you have to answer this man's challenge. He has challenged you on the record to show your jurisdiction, okay? Show it. She knows full well they cannot show their jurisdiction because they don't have it. They always, for decades, run right past this roadblock and assume, of course, we've got jurisdiction. I'm from the federal government. Here's my badge. Okay, well, I'm from Walmart. Here's my badge. Okay, now, where's your jurisdiction? It's basic, 101. This is where you start. So the jurisdictional challenges are in. Now, the judge can do several things. She can tell the U.S. government, you can ignore those and let's proceed to trial, which I know she wants to do. She could be a real judge and say, hey, the government, answer this man's questions. See, the judge is supposed to be the referee, neutral, uninvolved. It's government versus Paul and I. It's not government and judge versus Paul and I. It's just U.S. attorney versus Paul and I, okay? So the judge is supposed to be a neutral referee. It's like if you're playing a game and one team wants to challenge, he goes to the umpire and says, I think he stepped on the line. Can you review the tape, please? They review the tape, and the umpire or referee or whatever has to make a decision. Yes or no. That's what a judge is supposed to do. Stay out of the fight, just be honest and tell the truth. So the judge will either now take this, which he took it under advisement. He has the option of saying, no, ignore it and proceed. In which case, the whole world ought to see that and say, whoa, shut. And that will certainly be an issue that can go on appeal. But meanwhile, Paul and I will sit in jail waiting for this to go on appeal. and the chances of getting unpaid for overturned appeals are extremely low. And I found out yesterday, for the first time, finally, why nobody wins on appeal. I was just amazed. It's so simple. I couldn't see it all this time. When you are convicted of any crime in America, they figure out how much money that's going to bring in. For instance, in a federal case, let's say it costs $30,000 a year to house a federal prisoner. That's at a low, at a piece of camp security like me. And you get a 10-year sentence. That's $300,000. So they right away create a bond for $100,000 and sell it on the market. They
wow.
Money out of thin air. So somebody in Germany or Switzerland buys that $100,000 bond for $100,000, gives the U.S. government this money. Great. So the guy in Switzerland's happy. He got $300,000. He invested his $100,000 and got $300,000. U.S. government's happy, they got 100,000 brand new dollars created. And they overturned any...
This call is from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
Overturned any case for any reason, they got to give that money back. Oh, wow, it messes up their bookkeeping big time. The fact that it messes up your life and your family big time doesn't matter at all.
Yeah,
all
right.
They're worried about is their stupid bookkeeping. So anyway, the judge, I pray, and I want everybody else to pray, that maybe we'll answer his question. Not his answer is challenge. It's not a motion to the board, it's a challenge to the U.S. attorney. I'm challenging your jurisdiction. Prove up on the record how you got jurisdiction. And this, it'll make him drop the charge, what it'll be, which they never should have brought this charge. This is so retarded.
Yeah, it is.
Mail fraud. Mailing of fraud. I cannot believe this has happened. I was supposed to be hauled 2 weeks ago. I was supposed to be out of prison a year and 2 weeks ago in a halfway house, 3 blocks from my house, and everybody followed the law. So this case is bizarre. Now, the crime, supposed crime, and there was no crime at all, that also needs a thorough investigation. I have asked everybody, contact Congress and say, would you please do a complete investigation of this case from start to finish and have him come testify? I'm a former science and math teacher, okay? I don't know anything about the law, but I know one thing. I was railroaded into prison 100 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
All I want them to do is say, again, we're sorry, we did wrong, let me out of prison, write a check, I'll tell them when to stop making zeros, and leave me alone. I didn't ask for any of this.
Yeah, amen.
They can read all that stuff on 2 Peter 3 or Greek, and all the documents are up there. Somebody just put a timeline up too, a timeline of events, which I haven't seen it yet, but I've tried to clean up information to add to that. Anyway, that's the story. That's where I'm at right now.
Ken, a couple of questions off of what you've just said. So the current pending charge that may cause you to be in jail for an additional amount of time, however long that is mail fraud, is that correct?
There's mail fraud and conspiracy to commit mail fraud.
Okay.
Both of them. Each of those charges carries a 20-year sentence.
When?
It's just unbelievable. And there are 6 charges. Some are only for Paul. Some are only for me. They're all stupid if you think about it. Just read them. And you've got to be kidding.
When were you...
Tell the whole story if you'd like. It's crazy.
We'll have 60 seconds remaining.
I'll have to call back.
That's okay. Okay, Ken. Just call back.
All right. You know, folks, you go to tpeter3.com or 310open.com and please make those websites go viral. All Gideon had was light, and I need to shine the light and make noise about this case. I'm all right.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. 2peter3.com and freekenhoven.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of any questions.
So we're waiting for Dr. Hoven to call back in. And really is amazing when you consider how much time he's already spent in prison. And when you look at the charges, Joe, that they want to bring against him, it's just unbelievable.
602-60634. They answer or ignore.
Kent, you there?
An inmate at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. This call will be recorded and monitored. Your advance pay account balance is $16.78. For customer assistance, billing inquiries, or to block future calls, dial 1-877-650-4249. To hear the cost of this call, press 8 now. To accept this call, press 5 now. This call is subject to monitoring and recording. Do not use three-way or call waiting features during this call. Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
All right, brother.
Hi, Kent. Welcome back.
Ken, one more question. As far as the judge making a ruling on the jurisdictional adjudication, when can we expect that?
There's no telling. The trial will start in like 8 days, you know, a week from Monday. Jurisdictional challenge is not bad, or if he allows it, then makes the government answer it. They're going to rant and rave and yell at you 4,000 excuses of why they can and why they're not supposed to, blah, blah, blah. But if he says, no, I'm sorry, you have to answer this challenge, they're going to say, well, we can't answer it. Okay, then case dropped. I hope that could happen Monday. Or he could sit on it for 7 months. The government put in a motion back in 2007, right after I went to prison, and said, we want to seize the church property to pay for Kent's tax bill. The church trustee said, excuse me, hold it, you can't seize that. What if you go see Walmart? They got more money. Go seize their property. Church property for Kent's tax bill. And the judge let us through that. The trustee said, we want a hearing. We don't need any trial on this issue. This wasn't found by any hearing. And the judge might have sat on her desk for 7 months before she finally ruled, yep, you can seize the church property. Down right away and seize the bank account. And a couple months later, less than a month later, as 18, flew to Detroit to have sex with a 5-year-old and got arrested and hung himself in prison in Detroit. And it was real quiet about seizing the property for several years. And now they have changed the names on all the church properties. It's a difficult affair to say U.S. government, and they've already sold 5 of them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Okay, and, well, that's a crime. It is. So we were found guilty after a 2-week trial. My attorney said, this is so stupid. There's no crime here. Come on.
Right.
Don't even give a defense. Okay? So we did not give a defense. Then the judge said, because the law says you have to take out over $10,000 in 2 withdrawals of under $10,000 in 1 day. You go in the morning, you take out $9,000. You go in the afternoon, you take out $9,000. Now you're structuring your transactions to avoid a reporting requirement. Okay. Well, we went every 12 days and took out money. The pastor had said, try to keep withdrawals under $10,000. Okay. So she would go get $9,000 or $9,500 and take it out of the bank just to keep on hand for bills. No problem. Well, they not only said that's against the law, they gave me 10 years in prison for that. They gave her a year and a day in prison for that same crime, structuring. They also said all that money that you took out over those years, that $400,000 over those years, that has to be forfeited to the government. We said, wait a minute, that money was spent. It's gone. Hello, it couldn't be one. Had that drug money. Well, where's the problem with giving money to the government? Well, then they found out I don't own anything. I live in a church parsonage, I'm a church man, I don't own a pair of socks. So they said, we want to seize the church property to pay this bill. And the judge granted it. So it's a long answer to your question, what's going to happen with this jurisdictional challenge? I hope she answers Monday and says, you're right, there is no jurisdiction. Everybody go home. That would be so simple and so right.
Yeah.
But, well, no, she couldn't sit on it for 7 months. What else?
Can the issue with how the government collects its taxes, the whole tax system is so convoluted, and it has been for years since the creation of the Federal Reserve System, and we don't really have the time tonight, as we have you only for an hour, we'd really like to pick your brain on this, because I'm sure that you and I and Bill here and many others listening are in agreement that the tax system is unjust. I was involved back in the 80s in a movement to repeal the 16th Amendment, but people were so afraid to get involved, they didn't want to challenge the IRS. And so let me just ask this, Kent, let me get this right off the bat. How do you respond to Christians out there, and I've talked to them and I've heard them, who say that Ken Hovind is not in jail for the sake of the gospel. He's in jail for doing evil. He broke the laws. How do you answer those accusations?
I say, would you please show me which law I broke?
Right.
I did not break any law about structuring. We did not have 2 or more transactions in 1 day. And it's the bank's duty to fill out the form, not me. They can fill out the form if they want on everything. Fill out all the forms you want. How can I stop them from filling out a form? I can't stop them. Go fill out your form. Do what you want. There's no law broken. The other charge that I had was not withholding taxes from employees. Well, read my 2005 affidavit that I put into the grand jury. It's up on TPeter3.viral. And hide it in plain sight in 1,000 different places, and they're going to try to make that disappear. That spells out the whole thing. I kept writing to them, said, guys, I'm watching the law. I had obeyed the law. Back in 96, the IRS came and seized the cars out of the driveway. I wrote to 3 tax professionals, exactly like it says in their little book, 517.
Mm-hmm.
And said, if you have any tax questions, write to a tax attorney. Write to his EPA, and write to an enrolled agent. Okay, so I wrote to each of them, sent them a letter at $50, and said, I understand you charge $50. I would like your professional opinion. Tell me, am I breaking any law? All of them wrote back a nice letter, 10, 15, 20 pages, saying, no, here's the law, and you're doing fine. All of those are posted on 2meter3.com and 3kinholman.com, those letters from them. This is back in 96. When they come after me again in 2002, they started writing me letters. I answered, and I said, excuse me, here's what I've been told. Am I doing anything wrong? They never answered my letters, ever. And I rear agent admitted so on the witness stand. No, they never answered his letters. Or not. I didn't think I had to. Okay. So I finally wrote to the IRS and said, I would like a copy of my individual master file. I signed them down under the Freedom of Information Act. Boy, I would like a copy of my IMF. They wrote back and said, it's going to be $146. I said, okay, so I sent them $146. Now, send me a copy. So they sent me a copy. I did several different things. I said, wait a minute, you have me coded as an underground coal miner in the Virgin Islands. I've never been to the Virgin Islands, and I'm not an underground coal miner there. Please change your records, okay? I'm a preacher. Oh, a four. They don't live in the Virgin Islands, so they change their records. So I wrote again and said, I would like a copy of my individual master file to make sure they corrected it. And sure enough, they had corrected it, and they sent me for 1995, 6, 7, 8, 9, 2000, 2001. They sent me all the records and said, you don't owe any tax, and you are not a tax protester. Okay, thank you. Case closed, I thought. Never heard a word. They come again in 2004, and the SWAT team comes in again and surrounds the place while we're getting ready for staff devotions. Swarms into the building and says, Scott Snyder, the IRS agent, I got a search warrant here. So, well, you know, there's no affidavit here. I don't know what you're searching for. No. Of course, the constitution says you have to have an affidavit. No affidavit. The cop that was with him said, if you don't let him in, we're going to take you to jail. Okay, under duress and over my protest, I want you to, you know, no, I don't agree to this thing. He did search everything, stole the money out of the church safe that we had saved up for buying the next property. We're going to get the $42,000 in there. Took all the money out. But this is evidence of a crime. Having cash on hand is evidence of a crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A few months later, that evidence of a crime money was turned over to the IRS Civil Division. They made up a tax bill for the exact same amount to the penny. So the criminal division gave it to the civil division. Which is, we've never gotten back. It's been 10 years, 11 years, never gotten that money back.
Wow.
They took 40 some boxes of all of our records and everything. It's unreal what they did.
Yeah, it really is.
I have said, all I have to fight these people, you're kidding, they got tanks and battleships and guns, and I wouldn't fight them that way anyway. I want to know exactly what the idiot started off, and the enemy came to attack him, and it was huge. He said, oh, they don't want to come, and 32,000 people show up. God said, that's too many, Gideon. 32,000 against a million, nah, that's too many. Tell everybody who's afraid to go home. 22,000 went home. God said, okay, that's still too many. Tell everybody to go get a drink, and if they dip their head down in the water, send them home. If they lift the water to their head, there must be alert. They're looking around, keep them. Only 300 left the water. 900, 9,700. Get their head down in Gideon's at home. He had a crew of 300, not afraid, alert people. God, that's what you need.
Yeah.
And door kicked in, and trumpet, and surround the enemy, and blow the trumpet, make a lot of noise, and shine the light. And what happened is the enemy began fighting each other.
That's right. Amen.
That's what I'm praying. I want everybody, get everybody to know what happened in this case. Shine the light, make noise. Broadcast it everywhere. Let me go testify before Congress. And I think what's going to happen is the Justice Department's going to fight the Treasury Department, going to fight the IRS, and I want them all to go fight each other, and I'm just going to walk away and go back to preaching about dinosaurs.
Amen, brother.
I didn't ask for this fight. They came after me. I was reading my Bible when they arrested me.
Let's call us from the Sheriff's Office.
Kent, we have a question from someone in the chat room, and they want to ask you if your ministry was 508 instead of 501, why did you get in trouble?
Well, I don't understand that. We should not have. No, we were the Lyndon Johnson back in the 50s, Senator Johnson, who later became President Johnson. He was from Texas, and he was getting blasted by the Baptist preachers in Texas. He was saying, don't you vote for this guy, he's a whoremonger, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he was a wicked man.
He was.
He didn't like the church as being able to stand up in their vote, and say anything. So he's got legislation passed, Internal Revenue Code 501, all that Internal Revenue Code, which says the churches can't be, not churches, religious organizations can't become exempt if they don't get involved in politics, which is exactly what you really want from the beginning of the month. Why would any pastor want to be walking through the head?
Yeah.
Moses.
We have 60 seconds remaining. Imagine Moses taking a 501 saying, okay, I can't go up to Pharaoh because they have this religious exemption.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Or any of the prophets of the Bible, I can't go talk to the king of Isaiah, you can't go tell King, no, I'm sorry, Daniel, you can't go tell the king. If Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you're not allowed to stand up against this injustice now because you're 501c3, you've got to bow down. Hello, is anybody listening out there? So I don't know. They had no authority whatsoever to come after us, but they did. And I pray Paul's challenge will fix that. Let me call right back.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
Do you still think I need to ask these two questions? Okay. Sorry. You had a question.
All right, Joe, we're waiting for Dr. Hovind to call back in, and you know, this is getting to an area now where you and I have some real convictions on, and exactly where the quote unquote church stands today on this issue, and it's a serious issue.
Call from 850-626. Prepaid call from
Ken Hovind.
An inmate at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. This call will be recorded and monitored. Your advance pay account balance is $12.52. For customer assistance, billing inquiries, or to block future calls, dial 1-877-650-4249. To hear the cost of this call, press 8 now. To accept this call, press 5 now. To decline this call is subject to monitoring and recording. Do not use three-way or call waiting features during this call. Thank you for using Global Tail Link.
All right. Sorry about the interruption there, brother.
Not a problem.
No, it's okay, Ken. We're, you know, we understand that there's certain things that you got to put up with, and so, you know, we're going to roll with you, brother.
Ken, in one of your letters that you alluded to earlier to a tax attorney, you had mentioned in that taxes are to be collected to allow for the function of government and not for the redistribution to every Tom, Dick, and Harry who has his hand out. Now, as I said earlier, we've been involved in this struggle for quite a while. Bill and myself for the last 5 years, myself going back 25 years, and Our contention is this whole issue is a challenge to the entire tax system that we have in this country. So would you elaborate on that reality that taxes that we pay are for the functioning of the government and not for redistribution?
I owe it, I should pay it, and then argue, hey guys, don't spend it on this. But that's two completely separate issues. Do you owe it? If you owe it, pay it. It's Congress's job to decide what they spend it on, and it's our job to elect congressmen that have common sense.
Yeah, amen.
To read Davy Crockett's letter, which is just now posted on Future 3 also, I believe, his letter about, hey, it's not your money to spend. That's a classic story. Davy Crockett's words, or read that and spread that around. Yeah, it doesn't matter if I don't like what they spend it on, and I agree it shouldn't be spent on welfare, it shouldn't be spent on lots of things, but that is not my reason. My reason is, I don't owe it. If I owe it, I'll pay it. I pay lots of taxes, sales tax, real estate
right.
tax, property tax, when you buy a gallon of gasoline,
exactly.
How many taxes are on that?
Right.
You buy a gallon of milk, like 100 taxes by the time the milk gets to your table. You know, the farmer paid tax on his tractor, and paid tax on his gas, and paid tax on his cows and stuff. I'm not against taxes. I know we have to have taxes, and I'm for it.
Right.
Amen.
So yeah. I'm not a tax protester. Okay. And so what they spend on is not an issue with me, at least for this battle. I mean, I do have a right to gripe and complain and say, look, don't spend that. But that's unrelated to this. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Ken, let's get back to the 501c3 issue as it regards to the local Congregation of Christ body. When did you first begin to question the 501c3 issue, and what were the circumstances?
Oh, like in 1989, and worked a regular secular job at a cabinet shop I was foreman in, and began getting invitations to speak on creation. And I can give you a long story there, but basically, within about a year, I said, yeah, I've got the quest to go full-time because I was getting so many invitations to speak on creation. And so our ministry began in 89 part-time and really full-time in probably 90. And I began
this call is from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
I've been traveling around the world speaking on creation, evolution, dinosaur science, and the Bible kind of stuff, okay? And I didn't know how to create, how to structure a ministry. And I began asking around and poking around, and people said, well, today the government doesn't decide what a church ministry is. Today, I said, well, no. So why would you ask them if you can exist? Which is really what a 501c3 is. It's asking the government, can I exist?
Yeah.
That's what they do in communist countries. You have to get permission from the government to start a church.
Right.
So, why would you want to even step in that trap, you know? So we just began the ministry. Sometime in 98, I don't remember the date, I met Pastor Mooney here, and he said, Brother Hogan, what you're doing is fine, but the government's probably going to get upset because you're not one of their final ones. He said, would you like to be a branch of our church, Faith Pastors Fellowship? We are not a 501c3. Our church has been around since 1830 before there ever was a 501c3 mission. You'll be a branch of our church, like a church has a youth ministry and a bus ministry and a all folks ministry. You will be our creation ministry. I said, okay, great. I thought everything was fine. And then he gets a stroke and nearly dies in 2002 and said, oh, we're going to have to quit. Okay, now what? So I met Glenn Stahl, Remedies and Law in Washington. And he said, well, our ministry since 1982 has been helping people establish ministry trusts that are perfectly legitimate. And I said, okay, I don't know anything about all this. Tell me what to do. So he became the trustee, and our ministry became part of the Creation Science Evangelism Ministry Trust. And I traveled and preached and thought everything was fine. What are we doing? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm busy preaching 900 times a year, and it's fairly type of free, you know. Traveling all over, that's my specialty, not this single stuff. And so that's when we're still, the ministry is still under CSE. The judge ruled, no, Creation Science Evangelism Ministry Trust does not exist. That's all Ken Holman's personal property.
Mm.
And of course, she made that ruling precisely so they could seize it. If she had ruled that there is a trust, then of course they couldn't seize it because it's not my property. So without a hearing, without a trial, nothing, she just ruled that if there is no trust, go get it, and they did.
Wow.
So when I moved to, they moved me 23 times in this prison system in the 8 years I've been in. I was up in Berlin, New Hampshire, and I really passed you over. I said, tell me about it. What do I do? He said, have you filed a Bivens suit? I said, what is that? He typed one up, we filed a Bivens suit. He said, have you filed a complaint? I said, no, how do you do it? How do you complain? He said, oh. Okay, and he typed one up, I'm going, yeah, that's perfect. Okay, so I signed it. He said, have you filed a Liz Pendens? I said, what on earth is a Liz Pendens? He said, oh, it just lets people know litigation is pending on this property. That'll just stop the sale until they can get the litigation settled. Of course, you can still buy property with a Liz Pendens. That's not a problem. Just a warning saying, hey, there might be a problem with this property. And that's all it is. And that's what carries the 20 years of this now. If I'm found guilty of mailing a letter telling the owner the Liz Pendens, it is just so far off the chart. Bizarre. People all over can't believe it's happening. Now, the solution is you can't stop these people at this level. They are in way too deep. They have to plow ahead and try to get, so we're going to have to go over their head. One way to do that is just simply with the media. Let the world know, hey, everybody stop and watch as these people cheat and lie. And you can try to throw this guy in prison for another 100 years. And they may succeed at that. I don't know. And their track record is they win 99.5%, whatever it is, percent of their cases. So
well,
they probably will win.
Well, we're going to pray down that stronghold for this one, Kent. You know, there's...
Amen. Thank you, brother. Secondly, we need to go to their boss, go to the Treasury Department, go to the U.S. Attorney Office in Washington, D.C., and say, would you guys call off the dogs? Would you stop them down there? They're embarrassing the world. They're embarrassing us. Just stop them. Pull the plug. Call the Treasury Department, say, will you defund them and take away their money? They've already spent nearly $500 million on this persecution for mailing a letter where nobody is injured. Who's the victim here? They had jurisdiction. That's really the classic challenge. Paul Hanson is right on target.
Yeah, he really is.
Contact Congress and say, will you repeal these stupid laws that are causing this problem? Why is there a structuring law? Here's what people do with their own money. Even drug dealers. Let them do what they want with their money. Why don't we just legalize drugs and get out of this stupid drug war? I've never taken any involved. I've never tasted alcohol. I'm 52 years old. I've never touched it other than nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to.
Yeah, it is.
This call is from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
They apologize for misusing the structuring law, then we're changing our policy. We're not going to do that anymore. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad. But that's not really what we need. Policy, not just changing your crazy policy. We need Congress to change the law and say, sorry, folks, that was a dumb law. Repeal the structuring law totally and make it retroactive and pay back everybody that you've ever stolen their money under this law, which is a whole lot of people, including the drug dealers, give all their money back and give them all $1 million a year for incarceration.
Yep.
Now we're talking. That's a real apology.
That is. Ken, we have some questions now regarding creation versus evolution, which we know is right up your alley. I wanted to start out with this one. To your knowledge, has creation science advanced at all in the scientific community?
I don't know how anybody can say that. I think there are a lot of people who believe that evidence from science is overwhelming that there is a creator. Some, of course, are afraid to voice that opinion for fear that they'll be lose their job. You know, there's a real persecution of people who dare stand up against the evolution lobby. Mm-hmm. I think you might want to watch the Expelled movie by Ben Stein. That is a classic. Ben Stein Expelled. You need to be sure to watch that one to get a real answer to that question. I would say, as far as the scientific community, you have to very carefully define that term.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody involved in real science believes in creation. Now, they may also have a particular religion. You can have a scientist who's a Buddhist, or a scientist who's a Christian, or a scientist who's a Muslim. But you've got to be careful to distinguish their science and their religion are not the same. You can believe anything you want. You can believe in the tooth fairy and the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, and you can believe your grandpa was a rock if you like. That's fine. That's not part of your science.
Right.
So the actual scientific community all believes in creation. They may also have a religion where they believe that they keep a rock and believe in the moon. And even that word evolution is slippery. You have to define that. Exactly what does that mean? There are six different meanings of the word, which we covered in the seminar. You know what the word means. A microevolution, macroevolution, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's what you call it.
Ken, now Bill has asked where you believe creation science stands currently among secular scientists. I'm very interested to know where do you think today's Christianity stands on this issue? Creation, biblical Genesis, 6-day, literal 24-hour creation versus God using evolution creation.
I haven't seen any of those things, of course, that's been locked up. Show that about 50% of America, 50 to 60%, depending on where you do the survey, believe in a literal 6-day creation and the earth is under 10,000 years old, which is clearly what the Bible teaches. That's clearly what I believe in. So 50 to 60% of Americans believe that. About 30 to 40% will take the position, yes, God did it, but he might have done it over millions of years. And typically around 10% believe, no, there is no God, and the earth is millions of years old, from the atheist perspective, basically. But they've always been in the vast minority, and those who believe the biblical view have always been in the vast majority. Now, they're not outspoken as much, and they certainly don't control the book or it's the textbook or what is taught in school. So a few dedicated atheists in your community can get on the textbook selection committee and get textbooks teach every kid in the country, in the county, evolution. They can promote their religion by simply getting on that committee and selecting which books are called for a paid for kids to do.
Ken, we wanted to get your thoughts on this. A recent article that was written by a couple of, quote, unquote, scientists that are, pro-evolution. They wrote that the Big Bang Theory might not be true, And their assertion is that the universe has always existed. Now, these guys are into quantum physics. So just wondering what you would say to them since we've been told, since I was in kindergarten, that the Big Bang Theory is true. Okay, brother. Well, Joe, it really is, when you listen to Kent give his explanations on questions that are posed to him, this guy is so well versed in not only, the creation versus evolution, but also on the Bible and
right.
What the government has done is a travesty.
6206.
We're waiting for Dr. Hoven to call back in. Some great questions in the chat room and some comments by you guys there. So keep them coming. It's so cool to see how other people think in regarding these issues, and I'm thoroughly enjoying the comments in the chat room. So keep them coming, guys. Oh, here comes
from 850-6260634.
Well, we seem to be having an issue here with making a connection with Dr. Hoven. Joe, any thoughts so far from what you've listened to?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts, and unfortunately not enough time to get to them all. This is something that needs to be watched closely. And the problem with that is that country specifically is so overly entertained and they don't want to take the time to think about these issues. That's what makes an interview like this so informative, because Ken, although, he's a creation science evangelist, for the most part, but as he's had these legal troubles, he's been able to investigate himself as well as speak with others who are informed in these areas. And Kent goes the distance with this. And what is really coming through is his courage. Now, he's suffering because he's been separated from his family. Now, I would like to challenge any of you Christians out there who think that he's in jail because he's done evil. If you would be able to bear up under these circumstances.
Yeah, that's.
And I would also challenge you to investigate what is going on here. The law is wrong. The law is wrong.
Global Telling, prepaid call from.
Get over.
An inmate at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Your advanced pay account has a low balance. To claim more funds, please call 1-800-483-8314. This call will be recorded and monitored. Your advance pay account balance is $8.25. For customer assistance, billing inquiries, or to block future calls, dial 1-877-650-4249. To hear the cost of this call, press 8 now. To accept this call, press 5 now. Decline. This call is subject to monitoring and recording. Do not use three-way or call waiting features during this call. Thank you for using Global Tail Link.
Yeah, it's we're having problems getting you back connected, Kent, but we have you now, so thanks for hanging in there, brother.
That's one of the dumbest theories ever come up with in the history of humanity, I believe. In my humble, totally unbiased and correct opinion, the Big Bang Theory says that everything began as a singularity smaller than the theory of the universe, and it's and there's an unbelievable number of people believe this, and I don't think they really thought it through. Like, what exploded? Where did it come from? Where did matter come from? Where did space come from? Where did time? And the Bible covers that in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, there's time. Heaven, there's space. And earth, there's matter. Time, space, matter were created in that order, which, by the way, they have to be. If you have matter but no space, where would you put it? If you have matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You have to have it in that order, but that's another sermon for another day. So, the Big Bang Theory, these people say the universe has always existed. I think that on its face is absurd. We see everything is winding down, bearing out, burning up. The sun is burning. Step outside and look at it. It's losing 5 billion tons a second. Okay, well, that obviously means that a second ago it had more mass and it burned it up. If you go back in time a couple thousand years, the sun had a whole lot more mass. It had 5 billion tons a second for a few thousand years and see what you get. Okay, not a problem as far as affecting the Earth. If you want to go back and do that for millions of years, adding 5,000 tons, and the sun is losing 5 feet an hour in its diameter. Okay, or a few million or billion years, and see what happens. Pretty soon, it is sucking all the planets in and burning them up, and as big as the solar system. Especially to say that the universe has always existed, that ignores the obvious second law of thermodynamics. Everything
yes.
is running down, winding out, and we're losing. We're losing things and burning up. The Earth is slowing down in its spin. The moon is getting further from the Earth. It's leaving Earth. It's receding. I mean, it's going on and on with scientific evidence that this Earth had to have a beginning, and it could not have been billions of years ago. The Bible days clearly teach it in thousands, and that is, there's no scientific reason to reject that at all. If somebody have a moral reason to reject it, okay, well, be honest. Say, I don't want to
be
honest.
Ken, who, in your opinion, are the leading voices today for rock-to-man evolution? Have you ever debated any of them, or at least offered them an invite to debate you?
I have had 100 debates with evolutionists who believe they came from rock, and there are many available. 20 of them are available on DVD or video on 2meter3.com or YouTube has a lot of them. They watch them. Many others we videoed and the debate didn't come out. Something broke down. No audio or something like that. Technical problems. Others refused to let us video them. They said, we'll debate you, but we don't want it videoed. Okay, well, let me debate you then. I've had, at last count, 4,600 professors who refused to debate Stephen Gould was a leading light for evolutionists, and he died here, but then he would not debate. Several others, Richard Dawkins, will not debate any creationists. He says the case is closed. Evolution's true. No, I mean, well, he gives any in platform time or whatever they call it over there in England. Okay. He won't do it. So, yes, I will get a professor of a university to have a debate, public debate in front of their university. I'll come debate them. I'll come debate 10 at a time. With half my
Amen.
Time behind my back. On a couple simple conditions. If there's 10 of them versus one of me, that's perfectly fine. But I get half of the total time.
Yes.
This call is from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
Second condition. We only do one topic at a time. You want to talk about carbon dating? Okay. You want to talk about dinosaurs? Okay. But don't get up and bring 70 10 questions and give me time to answer two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then claim victory on the other eight. No. One topic at a time. So I get half the time. We can have the time we talk about one topic this time. And if a professor wants to debate things, we can raise money and pay them. One 14-year-old girl in Rutgers University area got a professor to offer to debate, and I think she paid him $1,000 to come for 2 hours. I don't know. She raised money, and 14-year-old kid. It was great. I debated the guy twice in Rutgers University. One of my favorites is at Henry Riddle University, South Texas. And there's three of them against me, 3-on-1. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed or the smartest guy in the world by a long time. I slaughter these guys. I
Kent, this hour has gone by so fast. It's incredible. We could have you on for 4 hours easily. I have this last question for you. Is there anything else you would like to address at this point, which we haven't touched on?
Well, what we need now is prayer. We need to rattle the gates of heaven and say, God, would you please step in and show yourself a mighty God?
Amen, now, brother.
He's amazing all through the Bible. He answers prayers, and he does things in ways that nobody would even think of. Here's Moses standing at the Red Sea with 2 million Jews, former slaves. Pharaoh's coming down the valley after him, and he's angry. And God says, Moses, stand still. What do you mean, stand still? Hello, Lord. Moses, stand still. And he opens up the water, probably 900 feet deep, the eastern fork of the Red Sea. Go to WyattMuseum.com to see more of it. Water to walk. Why not provide a boat, you know, or why not kill all the Egyptians? No, no, let's open up the water. You know, my God thinks of those things and does them. Who would think of preserving 3 Hebrew children through a fiery furnace? Why not preserve them from the fiery furnace? That's all I would think of. Hey, let's kill these guys coming after me. Blah, blah, blah. No, let's go do it. How about into a den of lions and shut the mouth of the lions? Who would think of that? Oh, I gotta go there, lock it up. I would like people to rattle the gates of heaven. Go to 2Peter3.com and just make that go viral. Let everybody know what's happening and pray and contact Congress. I want to go testify and tell the whole truth of what happened. I'll keep this in prayer, brother.
And
if you can call back, tell Rudy. I'll be glad to help. Okay.
Okay, we'll do. And we'll be praying for you, brother. And, you know, as Monday comes around and you go before the judge, we pray the Lord be with you, brother.
This call is from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office.
Thank you, brother. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, Joe, you're right. We could have gone on for at least another 4 hours with the number of questions we had and just to pick Dr. Hovind's brain. And thanks to everybody, Hannah and Mark and all you in the chat room with your questions and your comments. It was great interacting with you all tonight. And the podcast of this will be available as of tomorrow, both on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/BillP222, or you could just go up to the search bar there and just type in our ministry, Answers for the Paranormal, and all of our blog shows will be presented before you, and you'll be able to listen to this show again. Or you could go to our website, and we suggest that you do. We would really like for some of you to interact with our ministry. Our website address is www.answersfortheparanormal.org. And Joe and I handle, you know, a good bit of what we do is centered around the present paranormal craze that has taken over this country, in that the church doesn't really have valid answers for people who come to them. And that's what we do. And we've touched on subjects such as ghosts, aliens, and that's our present series that we've been doing regarding the coming alien deception. And make no mistake, there are forces out there in high places and in physical places that want to make this happen. So we hope that you go to those either of those two websites and listen to some of our shows, Joe.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening now and who will listen by the archive, one of the areas that we weren't able to get into with Kent, again, with so little time, I wanted to ask Kent about a website, www.descentfromdarwin.org. Now, this is the organization that as of 2013 has a list of about 800 and over doctors, scientists from every discipline in the medical and scientific field who make this claim. We are skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutation and natural selection to account for the complexity of life. Careful examination of the evidence for Darwinian theory should be encouraged. Now, what this means is that any of you out there who understand that the Bible is true in the Genesis account of God creating the world and everything in it, the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days, when you get into a discussion with anyone, I don't care if it's individuals from outside of the body of Christ or within the body of Christ who want to argue that, no, there is no God, therefore there is no creation, or yes, there's a God, but he used creation. He used evolution, I'm sorry. You should go to this website, www.descentfromdarwin.org, because here you will see a list of 800-plus scientists, physicians, doctors from all disciplines who are dissenting from Darwinism. And the big lie that is out there is that the whole scientific community agrees with evolution and that there are only a few on the fringe who believe in intelligent design or that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, it's we maintain, Bill and myself here at Answers for the Paranormal, that you just read the first chapter of Genesis. Read Exodus chapter 20. And Jesus confirms these as well.
Mark chapter 6.
There is no room for evolution in the scriptures. You have to read into that. You have to create that. You have to add to the scriptures because the scriptures are clear.
Amen.
So if you get into a debate with any of these people who say, you're crazy, scientists don't believe that, you can print out, as I did, how many pages is this? It doesn't even have a page.
No. Looks like about 20, bro.
There's 20 pages. I'll just mention a few of these. Philip Skell, Emeritus Evan Pugh Professor of Chemistry, Pennsylvania State University, member of the National Academy of Sciences. Lynn H. Jensen, Professor Emeritus, Department of Biological Structure and Department of Biochemistry, University of Washington, Fellow AAAS. That's two of about 800 who have a scientific descent from Darwinism. So it's a lie that the scientific community is all together for evolution. So this is one area where you can come equipped. The Bible speaks for itself, but you can't, aside from a supernatural, spiritual indwelling of the Holy Spirit, have people, force them to believe the Bible. That's not the way God works. He does not force you to believe things. You have the ability to receive what he's written in his word through many different authors by way of the Holy Spirit. It's there for anyone to read. But in addition to that, you can dispel the lies that are out there in the scientific community. This is something you'll never hear on NPR. You'll never see on CNN. You'll never see on any of the major news outlets.
Right.
That there is this massive scientific dissent. And Bill, this is from 2013. I'm sure it's bigger now.
Yeah, most likely.
Names are added to the list almost daily. So that's another way that the evolution fantasy. And before I forget, Kent encouraged those listening to watch his debates. Let me also encourage you. You can click on any one of those debates, and you will see what science, quote unquote, has to offer in their debate against biblical creation science. It is ridiculous. It's laughable. And, you know, he's kind of underplaying his intelligence. I would put his intelligence up against any of these. But Kent will tell you he's coming at it from a scientific viewpoint which supports the Bible. And the Bible supports science. Science means knowledge. It comes from a Latin word, scientia, which means knowledge. The Big Bang is not knowledge. It's fantasy. They can't prove it. They can't observe it. And they can't repeat it. That's the scientific method. So please. This is a battle that is not just – this isn't just Ken Hovind's battle or Bill or myself's battle or anyone else that's supporting Ken. This is a battle for biblical truth. And this is another question I wasn't able to ask Ken. Yes, he's been prosecuted federally, strictly in federal court. But
new
I am
text from Susan Posey. Hear it. Hey, listen.
I am firmly convinced that it wasn't just the government behind this. This was a collaborative effort between a Christian college, a quote-unquote Christian college, who evidently doesn't understand the Corinthians' admonition to not go to court with a brother. So they don't agree with what Kent is doing in with regards to his battle with the IRS. So you don't allow a godless organization like the federal courts or the IRS to adjudicate anything that goes on with Ken, because Ken has clearly made it clear that he is a brother in Christ. So why would another sister in Christ want to hand him over to ungodly authorities? This is something that should have been handled within the body of Christ, because that's what the scripture says. Judgment begins in the household of God.
Amen.
So Kent has explained that he wanted to talk with this woman. I don't even have her. I have her name here somewhere.
Rebecca Horton.
Rebecca Horton. She didn't want to debate it. She didn't want to debate it. Now, my problem with that is, if you have a disagreement with scripture, why does it have to come down to a debate? You just get together and you talk about it. That's how people change other people's minds with regards to scripture. We don't all understand it at first. We all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of the scriptures. We are all going to get to points where we disagree. That just calls for discussion. But this woman did not want to discuss it.
No.
With Kent or with anyone else, she handed him over to a godless agency.
Yeah, no question, Joe. And as we were texting earlier today, there are so many scriptures that this woman misused, and we're eventually going to get into some of these, especially regarding Romans 13. And, and then you look at 1 Corinthians 6 that talks about not having lawsuits among believers. Now, she not only turned Kent in, but then went and testified at his trial
right
against him. Now, that is just inconscionable for a Christian to do. And I would challenge Rebecca Horton, because she comes off as someone who claims they know the scriptures. She is ignorant of the scriptures, and she's misusing and misapplying them, especially in this case.
Yeah, which is a common practice of Christians today who are in line with civil authority. And let it be known now that we are going to make contact with Mrs. Rebecca Horton of this Christian college in Florida. We're going to invite her to come on to defend her position. My guess is that she will not come on. She will not want to quote-unquote debate. All we want to do is get clear what the scriptures say. Now, I believe that this woman is afraid to be wrong because she's in a position of authority, and it would be embarrassing for her. But we will make the invitation. Stay tuned. Keep checking back to www.answersfortheparanormal.org. This is something we're going to get to right away, because this is something where it's a hot issue right now, and we're going to try to stay on it as long as we possibly can. There are a lot of other areas that we are involved in, but this is something right now we really want to address. And, let me just say before I forget, as far as Kent identifying himself, he said, I'm not a tax protester.
Right.
This is where I will distance myself from Kent. I am a tax protester. Here, let me make myself clear. You have to define what a tax protester is. I protest the government saying they can come in and take my wages.
Right.
They can make my employer withhold my pay and make my employer a servant of the state.
Yes.
What crime did my employer commit that he has forced to become involuntary a servant of the state? Now, if you have any idea what the Constitution's the amendments of the Constitution are, you will understand what I'm saying is true.
Yeah.
This is where I distance myself a bit from Kent. I am a tax protester. I protest. Kent made it clear. I pay taxes. He pays tax. Every time you buy something,
you're paying a tax.
Yeah. This is called a consumption tax. It's
right.
added to everything that we buy. So the government should be able to operate on consumption taxes, not withhold money. It started out at 0.5% back in 1913 when they said they needed it to fund the World War One.
Right.
And then it went to 1%. And then it's gotten up to gradually they're taking half of your pay away from you. And if you notice, now your municipalities are doing the same thing with an earned income tax.
Yeah.
It starts out at 0.5%, then 1%. You see, this is a cash cow for them.
It is.
They are able to take whatever they want to take out of your pay and do whatever they want with it. That's another area where I disagree with Ken. I mean, I think I disagree with him on that. But you see, when you have the ability to confiscate people's hard-earned money to do whatever you want, there's something wrong with that picture, and it's unconstitutional.
It is unconstitutional.
The 16th Amendment is unconstitutional.
Never ratified.
It was not. That's one of the main points. It was never ratified by all of the states at that time.
Yes.
So this is an issue that it's gonna evolve from here as far as how we handle it. We want to get to the bottom. Definitely want to get to the bottom of what the relationship is between. What the relationship biblically should be between the body of Christ, the ecclesia, and civil authority. One of the things that this Rebecca Horton did was a misrepresentation of Romans 13,
yeah.
that we're to submit to government. We don't submit to government if they're breaking their own laws, or you know, it's if they made a law that said you must wear sunglasses. You are not allowed to wear sunglasses on sunny days. And someone stopped for that.
Yeah.
Well, where's the law?
Right.
There is no law.
There is none.
So this income tax law, and this is one of the questions that was posed by Kent to this tax attorney. Where is the law that makes me liable for income taxes?
That's a great point, Joe. And Mark brings up a great point here in the chat room. He said that the IRS previously told Kent that he wasn't doing anything wrong. You know, and then all of a sudden here they come in the dark of night, 2004, and they're breaking down his door and taking him off in handcuffs. You know, it's just amazing what, and I brought this up on our last broadcast, Joe, how this agency functions outside of the law. And we know that they function outside of the law because Lois Lerner was on not that long ago and said that they were targeting conservative groups, Christian groups. And here's the evidence. Kent Hovind has spent 99 months in a prison.
Well, they
for supposed tax violations and structuring. I would like to ask the judge on the structuring issue. How do you presuppose what is in somebody's mind? They're saying that he willingly withdrew the money so to come under the $10,000.
Yeah.
What's her proof? She can't read Kent Hovind's mind or anyone else's mind for that matter.
As Kent brought up in the interview, it's none of their business what we do with our money. It's none of their business.
No.
How much I have in a bank, how much I deposit, how much I take out. What gives them the right to have a bank spy on me as to what I'm doing with my money? I mean, Americans today are so sheepish. They just kowtow to everything the government says to them. And the IRS operates outside the law. You know why, Bill? Because they're not accountable to the law.
That's right.
When is the last time any IRS agents were held accountable or the IRS themselves? We're sentenced to any wrongdoing. Someone point that out to me. Here's another thing. The IRS is an easy organization to point their finger to, and they should be ridiculed. They should be pointed out as being evildoers. But who gives the IRS their power? Congress.
Congress does. That's right. And even when Congress does hold hearings, you can see that they're not going to do anything. It's just, pillow talk. You know, they talk out of one side of their mouth and do something out, right, totally different.
And who thinks that any judge, if any case comes up like Kent's, who thinks that any judge is going to rule in favor of the defendant when the IRS is the plaintiff? How long do you think that judge is going to last on the bench?
Yeah, not very long. And Kent even brought up that I don't know where he got his statistic from, but it's an interesting statistic that 99% of people that go to trial are found guilty. And he wrote a book called Out of the Kennel or something regarding the kennel about prison system and how it all comes down to money. And he did mention it, regarding the bond that is issued for somebody who's incarcerated. It's just amazing to me, Joe.
It is. It's
the amount of money that we're talking about here. And prisons are big business today. Make no mistake about it. And they build them. They build more and more of them every day.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. But it's related to this, the prison industry, because you have a private prison industry,
yeah,
in addition to state and federal and county facilities. It's a moneymaker. And Kent alluded to that in the interview, how much is made when someone's convicted. So,
yeah,
you know, this is such an area where you really have to pay attention, Bill. You really have to care about what happens to your money. You know, we're a Christian ministry, but we are able to think in terms of laws that are established and governmental agencies that are already established.
Right.
I can think outside of the Bible. The Word of God is my lifeblood. But it's just like the same way I'm able to comment on sports.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with scripture, really. But as I said to Ken, this goes back for me, back to the mid-80s. I remember listening to a talk show host by the name of Herb Homer. He was on WWDB Radio in Philadelphia, and he wasn't afraid to say anything. He was the one. He was the first voice that I heard challenging the IRS,
mm-hmm,
on the air and the legality of the income tax. And what did they do? The IRS agents went into the WWDB studios, and they said, "This guy is going to shut up, or we're going to shut you down."
Wow.
It was a gag order at that time. They don't need gag orders anymore. You know why? Because none of these people challenge the IRS.
No.
Instead, they have guys like Alan Thicke, that whore, who will come on every tax season, quote unquote,
yeah,
and say, "If you owe the IRS money, I can help you. I can show you how to get out of that debt." The IRS doesn't want to. You know, it's the way that these people operate is unconscionable to me. It's my money. I should be able to do what I want with it. If I make $1,000 a week, I should be able to bring home $1,000 a week. And then when I buy something,
yes,
that's where I pay my taxes.
Yep. Well, you know, all the attempts that have been made by candidates that want to run on that kind of platform, you see what happens to them. And they're either ridiculed, made fun of in debates, and pretty much, you know, like Steve Forbes, they'll never be able to gain a foothold in American politics to make a change like something like that, because there's so much money involved.
You know, Bill, I used to be a libertarian. Now I'm just an independent. I don't get involved in politics. I comment on politics all the time, but I don't get involved in politics to the point where I think I'm going to really make a change. And this is another area probably where Kent and I will disagree. I don't believe we're ever going to get back to a constitutional government.
No.
The camel has got its nose too far under the tent. It's too far gone. People are too far brainwashed to start thinking. How many people even have a constitution in their homes? It's not taught in schools anymore.
No, it's not.
I have one on my night table. So, yeah, that's exactly what I have, right? So, Bill's showing me a citizen's rule book. It's the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the amendments to the Constitution.
If anyone wants to get a hold of a publication that is sorely lacking in our society today, it's this one. Get a hold of this. The Citizens Rule Book has the Bill of Rights, the Jury Handbook, the Constitution, and in fact, Joe, I used a story in here in one of our nursing home visits where we go to preach the gospel, and it's just a great little book. It's only about, 60 pages, but it's 60 pages of just valuable, invaluable information for American citizens.
It is. One of the goals of the government, any level of government, is to keep its citizens uninformed. Now, they will tell you the opposite. They want you to be informed because they say you can make a change. I don't believe that at all. This culture is so amused to death by all of the entertainment, they will not take the time to think about serious issues. And one of the things that we want to challenge Christianity today is thinking about this issue of where the line is drawn in the scriptures as far as what your local congregation has to do with civil authority. It has nothing to do with civil authority. As Ken said, you don't invite them in. They don't force their way in. The IRS doesn't force themselves on you. But when you sign up, as a 501c3,
you are giving them the ability.
You're giving them the ability to come in, and they make you establish all kinds of rules within your congregation. You got to have a business meeting once you, you know, when we used to go to the congregation that we belong to. I just went along with these things. I never questioned why we had a business meeting, why we had a budget,
why we had a first and a second.
In elders meetings, why you had to have so many elders meetings,
right?
Which is really is a board of what would you say, a board of, the church would call it a board of elders, but the IRS recognized them as a president, a vice president, a secretary, and a treasurer,
right?
That they must have, and that's what we had.
A company structure.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what we had. We voted for the president of the elder board and the vice president of the elder board and the treasurer and the secretary. Now show me that in scripture.
Find it, Joe.
So you know, we've been indicting the IRS and Congress this whole time. Let me indict the leadership at your local congregation. You're never going to hear this from them.
No.
Because they're in compliance with the federal government. They're in compliance with the state.
They're a creature of the state, Joe.
They're a creature
because they are incorporated. This is one of the biggest problems that is in modern day Christianity, is that churches have aligned themselves with the state, and because of that, they have to do what the state tells them to do.
That's right. That's right. So seriously, the number one issue for Christians is to understand what the scriptures say, and
amen.
Christians will use 2 Peter, and they'll use Romans 13 and 1 Timothy as well to get you to believe that you really should submit to the civil authorities. Now, what if your civil authorities are Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini or the Khmer Rouge or any other oppressive government? See, it doesn't hold up to logic, let alone biblical understanding.
Right.
So we should have nothing to do with the civil authority. What we do within our local congregation is none of their business.
It's not.
But the problem is that you make it their business.
Yeah. When you sign up for 501c3 status, you are giving up the sole headship of Jesus Christ as the one who is the head of your congregation.
That's right.
Because you are now giving another sovereign,
that's right,
permission to be involved with you. In other words, you are committing, in my opinion, Joe, spiritual adultery.
There's no question about it. I would want to ask these people, what did the state do for my salvation?
Nothing.
What did they have to do with it? That is why Jesus Christ has sole authority within the local congregation.
Amen.
That's 100%. You don't give 75% to Jesus Christ and 25% to civil authority, or 90-10, or 95-5, or 99-1. Jesus Christ is the sole authority. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. The state should have nothing to do with your congregation. And you're being kept in the dark by your own elders. You bring this up with them as I did when we started to get into all of this mess. They didn't even want it. Bill and I invited our quote-unquote senior pastor out to lunch to talk about the – because I wanted them to rescind their 501c3, to unincorporate.
Yeah.
You're already a body. You're the body of Christ. You don't have to incorporate. What you've done, you've incorporated into the state. You've made your body one with the state. That pastor wouldn't even go out to lunch with us because he knew. He knew he was wrong. And this is the cowardice of today's leadership within Christianity, where they won't even address these issues. It's people out here in the wilderness like Bill and myself that keep harping about this stuff. And hopefully the people that listen to us, everything that we're saying, I believe is biblically verifiable. We are not above error. If someone can point out where we are in error, we're open to that.
Absolutely.
Or where we're wrong as far as a taxation is involved. But again, there is a fear of the IRS. There's a fear of government. There's a fear of going to prison. And there's a fear of challenging authority. Well, guess what? If authority is wrong, it has to be challenged.
Absolutely.
Your leadership is only as good as they are adherent to the scriptures.
Yes.
Their knowledge of the scriptures. An elder is someone who is an elder in the faith, who is spiritually mature, not as a result of being appointed by some elder board.
Amen. And, you know, when you really look at this subject, Joe, it's one that the local body will not address, or they won't even consider it, because there's so many advantages that they have with the IRS.
Right.
Because now it's a money deal with them. You know, Jesus said, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, but yet you have Christians who, you know, by writing that check every week and sending it into the financial office, now they have the right to write it off on their income tax return. Like, are you serious?
That's a godless act. That is an act of faithlessness. And I remember the business meeting at Faith Community Church in Roslyn. I remember that business meeting where the IRS laws were changed, where you could no longer deduct as a charitable giving if you gave cash to the church.
Right.
It had to be by check.
So they could monitor.
Paper trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you people feel about that? You're writing a check and it's made available to
the
IRS or the state. Yeah. And, I mean, what are you doing reporting what you're giving to the Lord? If you're giving $100 a week and you're getting back as a result of your charitable giving, it comes out to $75. $25 you're getting back from that. So you're not really giving $100. You're giving $75.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's a penny. I'm not going to – that's between me and the Lord, what I give to him.
That's right.
That's none of the state's business. That's none of the IRS's business. It's not the elder's business of the congregation to see what I'm giving the local body of Christ. And we can't even get into the issues of what that money is used for. Most of it's used for upholding the building,
right.
Building maintenance.
Right.
Bill, the bottom line is we've departed so far from biblical Christianity. It's almost – see, this is where I believe that we can get back in as far as local congregations to just doing what the Bible says, get out of my business state. That, I believe, can happen on small scales in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we can get back to a constitutional republic. I believe we can get back to following the scriptures and adhering to the scriptures, because that is something that is spirit-driven. That's something that's done in the power and the might of the Lord. But it has to start with a desire. Know what the scriptures say and obey them. It's just like James
Amen.
said. James said, don't only hear the word, do the word. What good is it to just hear it and not do it?
Amen.
It's a man. It's like a man looking into the mirror and then stepping away and
forgetting what he looked like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, we encourage everybody listening to check back with us at www.answerfortheparanormal. And also, this was a good thing tonight because we had a much wider audience, and therefore this message will be taken out, can be taken out from all the people listening now. As far as what's happening with Kent Hovind, because ultimately this is a spiritual issue. I firmly believe that there were co-conspirators in this action against Kent Hovind. It wasn't just the IRS. It was a Christian college. There were other Christians involved. I'm certain of that. And I'm also certain that there were members of the scientific community who were embarrassed by Kent Hovind and they wanted to shut him up.
Yep.
And I even saw in one of the debates a female debater talking about Kent challenging him right there. Oh, and you don't pay your taxes.
Really?
She took a pot shot at him. Yeah.
Yeah. Ad hominem.
An ad hominem attack. Exactly.
Wow. Amazing.
It's been great tonight. I think we probably have to wrap it up. The air is going from my mouth. I don't think I have any more air in my lungs. So, but believe
me, we could give you some recovery time, Joe.
Yeah, I'm going to need recovery time. And let me tell you something. The amazing thing about all this, Bill, is that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of this. We both have lives. We both have jobs, full-time jobs. We both have families. This is something that is a challenge to us to monitor what is going on. But this is something that we're dedicated to because it's so crucial. So those listening, keep up with what's going on and let others know what is going on. If they don't want to listen to you, that's on them. All you can do is spread the news. Number one, spread the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ above all else. I'm sure that Kent will agree. If he spends the rest of his life in jail, he's going to do it to the glory of Jesus Christ. I know that enough about Kent Hovind. Tonight's the first time we've ever talked to Kent.
Yes.
I know by watching and listening to what he's done, observing his life, if he spends the rest of his life in jail, it'll be to the glory. If anything happens to you and I as a result of this, let it be to the glory of God.
Yeah.
If someone wants to accuse us of being lawbreakers, like Kent said, show us what law we're breaking.
Absolutely.
We are allowed under the First Amendment to speak out against our government.
No question.
So this is something that we've been doing and we're going to continue to do.
Yeah, amen. Well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to listen to the interview we had with Dr. Kent Hovind. I want to thank those in the chat room for all their comments and for questions posed that we were able to talk with Dr. Hovind about. And we just want to encourage everybody to go to the websites that Dr. Hovind suggested, 2Peter3.com, FreeKentHovind.com. All the information there regarding his case is available. And you know, we've really, as you said, Joe, just kind of scratched the surface tonight on this.
Right.
I mean, there's so much more that we wanted to get into, and you know, we weren't able to. But we plan on putting this information up on our website.
Right.
You know, we're going to make up a page and have this information available. So if you go to our website, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, in the next few days, that information will be up on the site. We're going to do everything that we can to get the message out there for this travesty that has been imposed upon our brother. You know, 8 years is long enough, Joe, and I can't.
It's more than long
enough. More
than
long
enough.
Even
if he's guilty of all this stuff.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And I just can't get into my mind you know, four charges and another 20 years per charge. You know, you're looking at 80 years possibly being imposed further.
This is a conspiracy, Bill.
No doubt about it. It's a conspiracy. And as we brought up, Joe, in our previous broadcast, this is nothing more than spiritual warfare.
Yeah, above all,
you know,
no question.
Yeah, there are physical consequences, and you know, we see the outworking of them. You know, here we have a brother in Christ who spent 99 months in prison. That's a physical thing that's taken place, but there is a spiritual issue. There are those who do not want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached, and they will thwart that attempt for the gospel to be preached.
And they will use people like Rebecca,
Rebecca Horton.
Exactly.
No question about it, Joe. So, again, we want to thank everyone, and this podcast will be up and available both on our website, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, and on Block Talk Radio. And if you go to Dr. Hovind's blog, our player is actually on his blog, and you can listen there as well. And Joe, I just want to give a shout out to both Rudy and Eddie Land, or Ernest Land, you know, for being able to make the connections for us to be able to speak with Dr. Hovind. So Rudy Davis and Ernie, thank you guys so much. God bless you. And, you know, we'll be praying for you as well as you do everything that you can to get the word out there. So for Joe, this is Bill. And I want to wish everyone a great night, rest of the weekend. And God bless you all. Good night.